Let us bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious Lord and our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the access that we have and the privilege that we have of calling upon thy name. Father, I want to thank that we can call thee Father. Thy beloved Son has directed us to do so. Each and every one that's saved by grace, each and every one, Lord, that is, as we have just been singing, hidden with Christ in high. Father, I want to thank you that we can call thee Father. And know, Lord, that thou dost have a love toward us. Thou dost have a care toward us because of thy beloved Son, the one in whom we come. Father, we thank that thy love is faithful, it is true, and it is unchanging because Christ is all of these things to us. Father, he is the one who loved us and gave himself for us. He is the one who shed his precious blood on the cross and rose again the third day and ascended up to thy right side and is this very moment, and indeed for all eternity will ever be living to make intercession for us. Father, I want to thank you for Jesus Christ and all that he is to us. I thank thee, Father, for thy love in sending him, Lord, and pouring out thy wrath upon him so that we could be forgiven. Father, I want to thank thee for thy love and thy goodness to us. And Father, I ask you that this evening that you be pleased to pour out thy blessing upon the service. Each and every one who is thine, each and every one who has come to thee for salvation. Father, I pray that you would be pleased to give us a word in season, a word to encourage us, a word to strengthen us. Father, a word to comfort us. Lord, I just know the many fears and anxieties that there can be. Lord, I just know our many inabilities and our many different aspects of weakness and frailty. And I pray, Father, that you would be pleased to come and encourage us, comfort us even tonight, we pray. Lord, I beg of you that every single one that is gathered out, those that are young and those that are older, that you would have a word in season. Father, I pray that you would come and speak to them personally and individually. Speak to their unique situation, we ask, so that they will go out rejoicing in Christ, resting in Christ. Lord, living for Christ and thankfulness for all that he is and for all that he promises in the gospel. And Father, I do pray for any who are not yet saved, any, Father, who have not yet come to Christ and ran to him for salvation, that you would be pleased to show them the blessedness of salvation, the safety and security that there is, and indeed the strength that there is for all those that come to Christ. Not merely, Lord, for a day or two, but for all of their lives, and indeed for all of eternity. Oh, Father, show them the beauty and the wonder of thy salvation. Father, that they may flee to Christ tonight. Lord, we ask you that you would glorify thy own name. Lord, we plead with thee that thy words be pleased to send a revival among thy people. Send an awakening among the lost. Oh, Father, we cry that you would do, oh Lord, as it were, a new thing in our land. Father, that you would do a mighty work. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the gospel that's preached, Lord, among those that are faithful. But, Father, we cry that you'd pour out thy Spirit in a marvelous and a mighty way. Oh, Father, that there would be a move of God. Lord, that there would be a change in our society, change in lives. That people would not curse thy name, they would praise thy name. They would not blaspheme thy name, they'd lift thy name up on high. And Father, would live for thee, Lord, as the King of their lives, as the one true and living God. Oh, Father, we cry that you would receive the glory that thou art due. Oh, Father, undertake. Be with her sister as she will now sing. May she know thy great help. May she know thy presence with her. And Father, may everything said and done tonight be done in thy strength, done according to thy word, done for thy glory and thy glory alone. Oh, Father, we thank thee for the promise, O Lord, that we are to be steadfast. O Lord, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that the work of the Lord is not in vain. Oh, Father, this is not in vain. Strengthen us with that promise, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Amen. I would like to welcome our sister, Mrs. Joy Cousins, to come and to come along to sing. Thank you very much for doing so. May the Lord bless you richly as you sing the gospel to us.
On Calvary, one
I'd like to thank Joy very much for singing. And isn't it great to know that you and I can lift our eyes into the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has indeed cried and declared, "It is finished." If you could turn, please, in the living word of God to the book of Genesis and the chapter 47. The book of Genesis and the chapter 47. I want to look a bit further at the life of Joseph, and indeed how he has told Jacob to come down to Egypt to be rescued in the time of famine. And Jacob has come down for that deliverance, for that salvation, as it were, from death. And we read in Genesis 46 about how Joseph has accepted Jacob and promised to present Jacob even before Pharaoh. Now in chapter 47, you and I read, "Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, 'My father, my brethren, and their flocks and their herds, and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen.' And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, 'What is your occupation?' And they said unto Pharaoh, 'Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers.' They said moreover unto Pharaoh, 'For to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen.' And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, 'Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle.' And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, 'How old art thou?' And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, 'The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers, in the days of their pilgrimage.' And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh." We'll end the reading there at verse 10. And let us bow briefly before the Lord in prayer. And if you haven't already prayed, ask the Lord to speak to you a word in season. Can I encourage you to do that now? And to do so with confidence, because the Lord has promised that we seek Him with all our heart, we shall indeed find Him. Our gracious God, we still ourselves afresh before Thee. We thank Thee, Father, that Thy Word is a living Word, quick and powerful, sharp and a two-edged sword. We thank Thee, Father, tonight that we are seeking to follow Thy direction, Lord, by going into all the world and preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank Thee that Christ has promised that He is with us always, even unto the end of the world. We thank Thee for the promise that Thy Word will not return unto Thee void, just as the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth and does not return back, Lord, but brings forth a blossoming and indeed a flower. Lord, I pray that You would be pleased to bring forth a blossoming and indeed fruit and flower, that which is beautiful tonight in salvation and in sanctification. Well, Father, we cry that You would do a work tonight, a work that will last for eternity, in every heart that's gathered. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. Amen. I'm sure that many of you this evening can testify to knowing somebody who has said they would do something, but it even never came to the bit they never did. For example, maybe someone has said that they would phone you back, and yet they never did. Maybe someone has said that they would help you with a project, to come round to your house and help you out, and yet they never did. Maybe they said that they would invite you out to dinner sometime, and yet they never did. Maybe they said they would always be there for you. If ever you need them, they'd be there for you. And yet whenever you needed them, they never were. You know, it's so easy for people on this earth to make promises, but you never keep them. And as you and I come into Genesis chapters 46 and 47, Joseph has made a promise to Jacob. Jacob has come to Joseph for salvation, to be rescued from death. And we read in chapter 46 that Joseph has accepted Jacob, embraced him with open arms, literally speaking, because Joseph ran to Jacob, put his arms around him and accepted him, loved him, cherished him. However, Joseph made a promise to Jacob. Joseph said at the end of chapter 46, verses 31 and 32, that he would go to Pharaoh, the king the ultimate ruler, and present Jacob and all his family to Pharaoh. But yet the question comes, is Joseph just like you and I, making a promise but doesn't keep it? Or is he one who's different? Is he one who makes a promise and then keeps it? Tonight I very simply want to look with you at this theme of being presented to the king. And the first thing I want you now to note is that Jacob and all his family are presented to the king faithfully. You see, Joseph said that he presents Jacob and his brothers unto Pharaoh lovingly as belonging to him, as his family, as his father, as his brethren, as those who were loved by him. And when you and I come into chapter 47, where we commence reading tonight, you and I read, then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. You and I can rejoice tonight because Joseph said that he would present Jacob and his family to Pharaoh, and Joseph did exactly that. Joseph did not say he would do something and then not do it. Joseph did not say he would do something and then do a lesser version of it or a half-hearted version of it. No, Joseph said he would do something and Joseph did exactly that to the very letter. And so it is with the greater Savior, the greater Joseph, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is faithful to his promises. You see, for those that come to Christ for salvation, not merely does he accept you, throw his arms, as it were, around you, take you up into his arms, and will never cast you out, will never let you go. Yet Jesus Christ in the Gospels makes a promise. In John 16, verse 16, he declares, I go to the Father. And then in verse 26, he declares, and I will pray the Father for you. Jesus Christ makes a promise that he will ever pray for those that come to him. He'll present them before the ultimate ruler, before God the Father himself. And the Apostle Paul, having been caught up to glory and having seen the risen Christ in glory, he tells you and me on the authority of God the Holy Spirit that Christ is one who presents us faithfully. He said he would do it, and he does indeed do that exactly to the letter. You see, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, the Apostle Paul is able to declare that Christ is, presently, is not ashamed to call us brethren before the Father. In Romans 8, 34, we read that Christ is presently at the right hand of God and maketh intercession for us. In Hebrews 7, 25, the Apostle Paul says again that Christ ever liveth, presently, continually, ever liveth to make intercession for us. Oh, dear listener, tonight I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be comforted. Christ is one who is faithful. He presents you and I lovingly and honorably as his, as those that are his family, as those that belong to him, as those that are loved by him. What a great comfort you and I have when we've come to Christ. Sometimes people think, and perhaps you're one of them, you think no one cares about you. No one thinks about you. No one knows your needs. No one is willing to help you. No one's willing to be there for you whenever you need them. But I want to tell you, Christ cares. I want to tell you tonight, Christ knows. I want to tell you, Christ thinks upon you. And Christ is not willing simply to care, but to have active compassion and to act on your behalf. He presents you faithfully before the Father. Be encouraged in Christ tonight. Be thankful for Christ tonight. Be thankful to Christ tonight. You see, Jacob and his family are presented to the king faithfully. Note also, secondly, that Jacob and his family are presented to the king legally. If you look at me, please, at verse 1 of chapter 47, we read, then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, my father, my brethren, and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen. The land of Goshen was on the border between the land of Canaan and the land of Egypt. And in verse 28 of the previous chapter, we read that Jacob and his family, when they crossed the border, Joseph, through Judah, directed Jacob and his family to Goshen to remain there, not to travel any further into the center of the kingdom of Egypt itself. No, just simply to remain at the border of Egypt itself, there at Goshen. You see, there were a number of reasons for this. But one of them was that it was proper for the family to remain at the border until Joseph had officially and legally presented the family to Pharaoh and had therefore officially received the agreement and the consensus from Pharaoh for this transaction of providing Goshen for the family. Joseph did not seek to care for Jacob and his family behind Pharaoh's back. Joseph did not try to do things in a shabby or indeed a dodgy manner which could end up in Jacob and his family one day being cast out of the land, being cast out into the place of famine and death. No, Joseph did things legally. He did things officially. He did things in a right and indeed a safe and secure manner. And again, this is a correct picture of Jesus Christ. Sometimes people can feel very insecure. Sometimes you and I can feel anxious and nervous about the future, not knowing what is going to happen. But let me assure you this evening, if you come to Christ for salvation, not merely will Christ present you faithfully before the Father, but Christ will present you legally, officially, and indeed safely before the Father. See, Christ will ensure that all the blessings that you receive, you will continue to receive. You'll never one day be cast out and left abandoned. No, you will receive them surely and securely. Maybe you're one tonight and you know that having come to Christ in faith and in repentance, believing that you're a sinner, but Christ has loved you and died for you, and you've turned from your sin and thanked us for all that Christ has done, that you know that Christ promises you forgiveness of sins. You know that Christ promises that He'll purify you, He'll preserve you, and one day He'll present you faultless before the Father's throne in eternity and glory. Well, let me tell you, all these blessings you and I do not have to worry about, because Christ, in coming before the Father, even right now, and praying for us before the Father, even right now, while we're still here, Christ does that officially, securely, safely, obtain for you and I all the blessings from the Father. Christ is not trying to do things half-hearted in a shabby or dodgy manner. He presents it to the Father, knowing that the Father is in complete agreement, and it is done right, safe, and permanently. Fear not, dear child of God. The blessings you have in Christ, they are secure. Christ desires them. Christ presents them. Christ obtains them from the Father. You have them. They're secure. Notice with me, thirdly, Jacob and his family presented to the king not merely faithfully and legally, but presented to the king lovingly. In verse 1, you and I read that Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father, my brethren, and their flocks and their herds, and note this, all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." This verse highlights to you and to me the great need that Jacob and his family had of being presented to Pharaoh. Coming to Joseph, Jacob and his family have brought all that they possess, their flocks, their herds, indeed, all that they have. Coming to Joseph, Jacob and his family have left all they know. They have come out of the land of Canaan. They've come out from their home and they've come down to Joseph. Coming to Joseph, Jacob and his family come to a land where they have nothing. It's a strange land to them. It's a new land to them. They have nothing in that land. See, Joseph, he is one who knows their needs. Joseph is one who knows their situation. And praise God, Joseph is one who knows the solution to their situation. And instead of ignoring the need of Jacob and his family, instead of asking Pharaoh for something other than the need of Jacob and his family, Joseph goes to Pharaoh to present the situation that Jacob and his family are in and present the solution for Jacob and his family. See, Joseph presents Jacob and his family lovingly. He knows their need. He knows the solution to their situation, and he presents that. All of it, nothing less than it. And again, there's no difference with the Lord Jesus Christ. When a sinner comes to Christ, they bring all they have. They bring their lives, they bring their homes, they bring their careers, they bring their future. They surrender it all at Christ's feet. And when a sinner comes to Christ, they stop depending on what they did before, and they now cast it all at Christ's feet, and they depend entirely on Christ to meet their needs. They depend on Christ to meet the need of their family. They depend on Christ to meet the need for their food. They depend on Christ to look after their future. Perhaps you are one this evening who is doing just that. Realizing that you have a need. Casting it all at the feet of Christ. Bring the needs that you have before Him. Well, let me encourage you. Christ knows your need. Christ knows your situation. And Christ knows a solution to your situation. And Christ lovingly, this very evening, is presenting that situation before God the Father. Not half of it, not part of it, all of it before God the Father. He loves you. And so he presents you lovingly that every single one of your needs will be met. Notice with me, fourthly, that Jacob and his family presented to the king wisely. In chapter 47 and verse 2, you and I read, "And he that is Joseph took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh." When Joseph presents the needs of all of his family before Pharaoh, Joseph chooses only five of the 11 brothers to represent the rest. Joseph did not choose all of them to go before Pharaoh. Joseph did not choose just one of them to go before Pharaoh. No, Joseph chose five of them to go before Pharaoh. Now, the reason why Joseph did this, we cannot say for sure. We cannot be dogmatic on it. But there does seem to be some indications in Scripture. The number five was a special number among the Egyptians, just like the number seven is very special among Western culture today. In Genesis 41, verse 34, you know, I read that within the Egyptian context, that it was one-fifth of the crop that was gathered during the years of plenty. In Genesis 43, 34, whenever Benjamin had come down into Egypt, that Benjamin, in an Egyptian context, was given five times more food as a sign of favor than indeed the other brothers. In Genesis 45, 22, in the Egyptian context, Benjamin was given five changes of clothing as a gift of honor, more so than the other brethren. Various suggestions have been put forth as to which of the five brothers Joseph chose. Some have suggested that Joseph chose the five whom he could trust the most to represent the rest of the brethren in the way that Joseph had directed them in chapter 46, verses 33 and 34. Other commentators have suggested that Joseph chose five of the brothers who would make just the right impression before Pharaoh. For example, Joseph would not choose the strongest of the brethren, the biggest and the most ones the greatest muscles, because it could be that Pharaoh would put them in the Egyptian army. And there's maybe some truth in that, because you and I read in chapter 47 and verse 6 that Pharaoh, speaking to Joseph, says at the end of that verse, "And by the way, if thou knowest any men of activity," or indeed of strength, as that word can be rendered, "any men of strength among them, then make them rulers over my cattle." You know, some have suggested that Joseph did not present the strongest just in case Pharaoh would want them for his army. Some suggested that Joseph did not present the most handsome of the brethren just in case Pharaoh want them for his palace court to look well before other people. But whatever the reason is that Joseph chose the five because it was a special number, and out of that number, which ones he chose, you know, I can rest assured, Joseph knew more about Pharaoh. Joseph knew more about how he approached Pharaoh than the brethren did. Joseph resented his brethren, his family, those that belonged to him, wisely. And so it is with Jesus Christ. While Jesus Christ does not need to worry about God the Father making a decision that is not perfect, or not that is not in agreement with indeed with Christ himself, or God the Father and God the Son are the one essence with the one heart and the one desire and the one will and the one way. Yet, you and I can take this truth out of the passage that Jesus Christ is one who presents us wisely to the Father, so that every need that you and I have will be met and nothing will be left out. Jesus Christ knows the best thing to say and the best way to say it. He knows more about the Father than you and I know. He knows exactly what he is doing. You can just imagine some of the brethren there and they're wondering, why was I not chosen or why am I chosen? And then the other brother there beside me not chosen. They may not have understood it, but I want to tell you, Joseph knew what he was doing. To get the blessing, to get the best for them, Joseph knew what he was doing. And so it is with Christ. Sometimes you and I don't understand why Christ is doing what he's doing, but I want to tell you, he does it because he knows what's best. He presents us wisely before the Father. You and I are promised in Psalm 23, verse 1, that the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want, we shall not lack. In Philippians 4, verse 19, the Apostle Paul promises that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. As Christ presents our needs before the Father will supply them because of Christ. There is a hymn in our hymn book that declares regarding the Lord, "Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me." I want to tell you, Christ presents us wisely. Notice with me, fifthly, that Jacob and his family are presented to the king personally. You see, having been presented to the king by Joseph, it is now the responsibility of the family to present themselves. In verses 3 to 4 of chapter 47, you and I see the family doing just that. And I believe you and I can learn a lot from these verses if you and I were to take a bit more time to do so. For example, notice with me the obedience and trust that these brethren have as they come to the king. In verse 3, you and I read, "And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." Now, remember the context. The last verse of chapter 46, Joseph has told these five brothers that shepherds are an abomination, disgusting and abhorrent in the Egyptian sight. And yet Joseph said, "I want you to tell Pharaoh that you are shepherds. Don't deny it, don't hide it. Tell Pharaoh that you are shepherds." And you can imagine the brothers begin to think, "Well, here, I don't know if I will tell Pharaoh we're shepherds." But you see, they are obedient. They listen to the words of Joseph and they obey the words of Joseph because they trust Joseph. Whenever they come to make their plea, their prayer, as it were, before the king, they obey Joseph and they trust Joseph. Notice not merely their obedience in prayer, but notice their request in prayer. Their request is specific. We read in verse 4, they said, "Moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come." They were very specific with the need that they had. Notice also the request is necessary. They said, "Thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land." The request is necessary. If they did not get what they needed, they would die, they would perish. This was necessary. This is not simply some luxury. No, it was essential. Notice the request is good. We read at the end of verse 4, "Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen." Joseph has already told these brethren that to dwell in the land of Goshen is a good thing because it will keep them pure, separated from the evil and wickedness of the Egyptian people in the center of the kingdom. It will keep the brethren and the family of Jacob nearer to Joseph where he lived and dwelt. It would keep their eyes on Canaan, on the promise that God had for them after Egypt. Notice that the request is good. Indeed, in obedience and in direction according to what Joseph has already told them. The request is also submissive. They turn around and say, "Let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen." They did not command Pharaoh. They did not come before Pharaoh and say, "We demand it now." No, they said, "Let, if it be your will, if it be an agreement to your desire, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen." You and I can look at this prayer, this plea, as it were, before the king. And I can see their obedience, we can see their trust, we can see their request, and I can see their promise. In all they request, they promise to be servants. They said to Pharaoh, "Thy servants." They were there to serve. And I can also see their focus, because we look there at verse 4, and they said, "For to sojourn in the land." They were not wanting a blessing that would last for all of their lives. No, simply just to sojourn in the land, because they were only passing through this land to go to a better land, to go to the land promised to them by God. How much and I can learn from the prayer, that the plea that these people make before the king. And you know, tonight you and I can be very much aware that Jesus Christ is presenting us before the Father. You and I can be very much aware that Jesus Christ is praying for us this very moment. Prays for us every day, prays for us every second, and never ceases to do so. But yet, while it's true that Christ prays, it is also important that you and I pray. Jesus Christ commands us in Matthew 6, "Pray our Father, come to the Father, come to God the Father, come to Him in prayer." You see, sometimes you and I can say, "Well, you know, God knows my needs already. What do I have to pray to God for? Sure, someone else is praying for me. Christ is praying for me. My family's praying for me. My friends are praying for me. Those in the church are praying for me. Why do I need to take time to pray? But yet, whenever you and I pray, you and I show obedience to God. Because we're obeying the will of Christ to come before the Father. You and I are showing faith in God. Because we believe that He's one who's willing to hear our prayers. And you and I show love for God. Because in surrendering our lives to God and saying, let thy will be done and thy kingdom come, you and I are praying for God to be honored and for his will to be done. I wonder this evening, are you one who prays? You see, whenever Jacob and his family came to Joseph, you and I read that they were people who prayed. You see, the prayer meeting and coming to prayer and having seasons of prayer in your own home is not just for those who are mature in the faith, it's indeed for all in the faith. It's all that are saved. Whether you be 5 years old tonight, whether you be 50 years old tonight, whether you be 90 years old tonight, prayer is for everybody. Christ prays for us, but you and I are to pray also for ourselves to come before the Father. I wonder this evening, are you one who prays obediently, listening to the command of Christ to come before God? Are you one who prays specifically for the very needs that you have? Are you one who prays for that which is necessary? Or are you always praying for that which is some luxury? Are you one who prays for that which is holy and that which is good? That God would keep you pure, separate from the wickedness of this world. That God would keep you near Christ. That God would keep your eyes on glory and the new heaven and the new earth. You may live for eternity and not simply for time. Are you one who comes humbly, saying, Lord, I am your servant. Do you come submissively? Lord, if only that be your will that this be answered. But your will be done. And are you one who prays with eternity in sight? That you're only one who sojourns on this earth. And you're then going in Christ to that new heaven and that new earth. Where God will dwell with you and you will dwell with God for all eternity. So often you and I can pray in other ways, can't we? Pray selfishly. Pray boldly in the sense of arrogantly. Pray vaguely. Just general things. You know, I can learn a lot from the prayer of Jacob and his brethren. You know, Jacob and his family, as you and I look tonight, they are presented to the king. But there's something more here tonight that you and I can look at. Not merely are Jacob and his family presented to the king, but notice secondly, Jacob and his family are blessed by the king. You see, in verses 5 to 6, you and I read, and Pharaoh spake unto Joseph. Joseph had presented the family before Pharaoh. Pharaoh now speaks unto Joseph and says, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land, make thy father and brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. Observe with me, Jacob and his family are blessed by the king, surely. While Jacob and his family were in many senses nobodies before Pharaoh, yet their blessing was sure from Pharaoh, because it was always going to happen. You may ask the question, why, if they're nobodies, how can their blessing be sure? How can they be sure that Pharaoh is going to meet their very needs? Well, you see, in verse 5, you and I read that Pharaoh, in responding to the plea that was made before him, that Pharaoh did not speak to the five brothers. Pharaoh did not speak to one brother. Pharaoh did not speak to Jacob. No, Pharaoh spoke unto Joseph. And he said, thy father, thy brethren are come unto thee. You see, Jacob and his family belonged to Joseph. They were Joseph's family. They were loved by Joseph. They were united to Joseph. They were cared for by Joseph. And because Pharaoh loved Joseph, Pharaoh would love Joseph's family. You see, Jacob and his family are blessed by the king, surely, because of Joseph. Notice also that Jacob and his family are blessed abundantly. When Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, you and I read in verses 5 and 6 that Pharaoh did not say, okay, Joseph, you can give him a little tiny corner of the land of Egypt, or you can give him that little tiny bit of Egypt. No, Pharaoh said, the land of Egypt is before thee, Joseph. They can have whatever they need in all the land of Egypt, in all of my kingdom, among all of my riches, Joseph. They can have it all, whatever they need. Furthermore, Pharaoh did not say in the worst of the land that they were to dwell. He's not saying the bog of the land that they were to dwell, in the dirty part or the barren part or the wilderness part of the land that they were to dwell. No, Pharaoh said unto Joseph in verse 6, in the best of the land, in the land of Goshen, in the land of Ramesses, which was the best pasture in the entirety of all the land of Egypt. See, men and women, Pharaoh's blessing upon Jacob and his family was sure because of Joseph. But Pharaoh's blessing upon Jacob and his family was abundant because of Joseph. Pharaoh loved Jacob and his family because Pharaoh loved Joseph. And so it is in the gospel. If you come to Christ for salvation, you and I do not need to fear that the Lord will not meet our need. Whether it be a spiritual need, whether it be a material need, whether it be that a financial need, whether that be a practical need, the Lord will meet our needs. God the Father will hear our prayers. Why? Because of Christ. Are you one who fears that the Lord will not preserve your soul tonight if you come to Christ for salvation? Do you fear the Lord will not help you to live for Him and purify you and change you and give you new hearts and new desires? I want to tell you, God will supply your every need because of Christ. God the Father loves Christ infinitely, eternally, unchangeably, continually. And because God the Father loves Christ, God the Father loves all those who are in Christ. Because you belong to Christ. You are loved by Christ. You are Christ's family. You know, the blessing of God is sure, absolutely sure for those who come to Christ. Oh yes, it's true in one sense, you and I are sinners before God who's holy. You and I will still sin whenever we come to Christ in salvation. In one sense, you and I are specks of dust before God who's infinite. At the end of the day, the nations are but a drop in the bucket. And if the nations are but a drop in the bucket, how much are you and I who are such a small part of any one nation? In one sense, we are specks before God who's infinite. But I want to tell you in another sense. In a very true sense, you and I are cherished by God the Father. We are loved by God the Father. We are precious to God the Father. We are a treasure to God the Father. We are the apple of the eye to God the Father. Why? Because of Christ, who is the ultimate apple of God's eye. See, God the Father always hears Christ, and God the Father always answers Christ. There's a wonderful picture in the Old Testament which helps explain this truth. You see, in the Old Testament, whenever a king was being appointed and indeed anointed to his role, or a prophet or a priest, oil would have been taken and put upon the top of the head, and then the oil being dropped over and poured over it would have ran down on from the head onto the beard and then on down the garments down to the very bottom. And you and I are told in the New Testament that Christ is the head of the body, that is the head of the church, those that are saved by grace. All those who have come to Christ for salvation. And because Christ is anointed and blessed, that all the blessings will flow all the way down to us, even to the very bottom. To the very bottom. Maybe you're one who considers yourself to be the least of God's children. Maybe you feel yourself to be at the very bottom, underneath the shoe, as it were. I want to tell you, every single one of God's children are blessed by God the Father. It's a sure blessing. It's abundant blessing because of Christ. Whatever your need, I want to tell you, Christ will provide it. You come to Christ for salvation tonight, and God the Father will meet your very need. Let me just conclude tonight. You know, I have seen that Jacob and his family are presented to the king. You know, I have seen that being presented, they are blessed by the king. But as I conclude tonight, notice with me, that Jacob is thankful to the king. In verses 7 to 10, you and I read, and Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers and the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. As you and I look at these verses, we cannot but see that Jacob is thankful to the king. He's thankful humbly. While I do not know, yet I would guess that Jacob was not one who would look in the mirror on a very regular basis. But yet, as Jacob was brought into the very presence of the king, I've no doubt in my mind that Jacob could not but be struck with the contrast between him and the king. See, Jacob was old. Jacob was wrinkled. Jacob was bent over. He was leaning on his wooden staff, partly lame from the encounter he had with the angel of the Lord in Genesis 32. Jacob was a shepherd. He was dressed in rough clothing, lowly clothing, peasant clothing. And yet here he stands before Pharaoh, stands before the emperor, stands before the king, possibly the greatest ruler in the known world. He stands before one who is seated upon the throne, adorned in robes of royalty, surrounded with the sumptuous trappings of aristocracy. Pharaoh is a picture of strength, with the wealth of the world within his grasp, with the armies of might there at his very hand. What a contrast Jacob would see. And Jacob coming in before Pharaoh, we read in verse 7, he blesses Pharaoh. This desire to bless is so great. In verse 10 we read that he blesses Pharaoh again. Jacob's heart is so filled with thankfulness, so filled with humility, that blessing and praise do not cease but flow from his lips. Jacob is so thankful that someone so great as Pharaoh, so infinite, so great as Pharaoh, compared to him, would set his eyes upon him and love him, and answer his very prayers and supply his very needs. He was thankful humbly. You know, if you and I ever want to be thankful to the Lord, you and I need to get a glimpse of the greatness of God and of our lowliness. You and I need to get a glimpse of the one who is almighty and infinite. And I need to get a glimpse of him who is the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity. You and I need to get a glimpse of him who sits upon the throne of all glory with all might in his hands. And you and I need to see how small we are in comparison, that we are weak and lowly and frail. And whenever you and I get a glimpse of that, and yet how God in his love and his grace bestows his love upon us and supplies your very needs, you and I will be thankful. It cannot but flow from our very lips. We will bless God, praise God. The hymn writers have tried to grasp thankfulness for all of God's love to them. For example, Samuel Davies wrote, "Pardon from an offended God, pardon for sins of deepest dye, pardons bestowed through Jesus' blood, pardon that brings an evil nigh. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free?" Charles Wesley went further. He said, "O love divine, what hast thou done? The immortal God hath died for me. The Father's co-eternal Son bore all my sins upon the tree. The immortal God for me hath died. My Lord, my love is crucified." The greatness of this gospel, the greatness of this salvation, it's beyond words. And that's why Charles Gabriel then gave up and he just simply said, "For all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise him. For all his grace so rich and free, I never will cease to praise him." I wonder, are you thankful? You see the greatness of God tonight. Do you see your loneliness? Do you thank God? Jacob is thankful humbly. Jacob is thankful finally. In verse 6, you and I read, "And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, How old art thou?" If I was to ask you this evening on the way out of the field what age you were, I'm sure some of you would be offended. You know, sometimes people can look old because they are old, and other times people look old because they have had a hard life. Well, I would say both is true in Jacob's case. He was old, he was 130, but also had a hard life. Whenever Jacob gives his answer to Pharaoh, he declares that his life was a pilgrimage. That is, it was a wandering, always moving from one place to the next, never being settled. Indeed, this word pilgrimage can't give the idea of being a stranger, never having a rest. And how true this was for Jacob. It was when he traveled from Beersheba to Bethel, from Bethel to Haran, from Haran to Mizpah, from Mizpah to Mahanaim to Peniel. There he would then build a house at Succoth, from Succoth to Shechem, from Shechem to Bethlehem, from Bethlehem to Hebron, from Hebron then down to Egypt. It was certainly a pilgrimage. He was never at rest. But now, having come to Joseph, now coming to there where he's got salvation, he is at rest. Finally, he is at rest. You see, whenever you come to Christ, you'll be at rest. You'll have peace for all. And Jacob's thankful. Humbly and finally, he's thankful marvelously. You see, he talks about how the days of the years of his life have been evil. You know, there's many things that I could mention here. Ever since Jacob beguiled his brother Esau of Esau's birthright, all kinds of bitterness seemed to have mingled with his cup. You know, Jacob was one who was a fugitive. He had to flee his own father's house. Jacob was compelled to serve 7 years for a beloved wife, and then he was cheated and had to serve another 7 years. He was grieved by his daughter, his only daughter, Dinah, being dishonored. He was grieved as his reckless sons would murder a people, and indeed putting his life and the life of all the family in danger. His own beloved wife then would die in childbirth. That sorrow would remain as a cloud over his head all the rest of his days. His son Reuben would disgrace the honor of the family with a foul and a moral crime. He would lose the one whom he loved for 22 years. He would endure famine. He would endure fearful anxieties. He would fear depression. What bitter experiences there were, but yet, in all these bitter experiences in life, he was reserved. He could have been overwhelmed. He could have been so taken back that they could have finished him and never made it to Joseph. But he was reserved. And so he's thankful that even though the days of his years have been evil, yet he has been reserved to come nigh and to see the one whom he loves and to be safe in Joseph's hand. And you know, Jacob is also thankful eternally because he speaks three times over. Oh yes, he's 130. He's still actually got another 17 years to go. And you and I, if we lived 130 or 147, and say you're doing well. But I want to tell you, Jacob, as he looks over his life, he talks about the days of his years. The days of his years. The days of his years. He describes them as few because he sees life as short. What a lesson for you and I tonight as we finish. Life is short. You and I are taught in Psalm 91, verse 12. Lord, teach us to number our days. Our lives are short. Jacob was one, whenever he heard the command to run down to Joseph for life, he ran before it was too late. And he was safe and he had rest. And what a salvation we've looked at this evening. Presented before the Father, provided for by the Father, blessed by the Father, surely, abundantly, every need supplied. And would one day then go to glory. And yet you and I come to Christ. We must come before it's too late. Our lives are short, like a vapor. Pierced for a little time and will vanish away. Flee to Christ tonight if you haven't already. Flee now. Talk about days, not decades, days. And if you come to Christ, you'll be accepted with open arms. You'll be presented before the Father. Blessed by God the Father. Every need, not every luxury, but every need supplied. And one day you'll go to be with Christ for all eternity. Do you know this salvation tonight? If not, come and receive it. And if you do, go from this field tonight with that sight of the greatness of God and your loneliness and be thankful that God in his love has loved you. And live for him in that thankfulness. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, I ask you, Lord, that you would be pleased to take thy precious word, not the word of a man, but Lord, take thy precious word. Write it upon my heart, Lord. May I go home tonight. May this be engraved in my very mind for this entire week. Lord, that thou art the one who is truly great. Thou art the one who is infinite. And Father, compared to thee, I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. But yet, Father, I want to thank you. You love me because of Christ. You look upon Christ at thy right side and you love me because of him. You'll provide for my every need because of him. And Father, seeing thy greatness and seeing thy grace, may I love you, not merely with my words, but with my very life, with my time, with my energy, with my money, with everything. Lord, may that be the case for everyone tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.